Our first reading for this morning is Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Let's listen together for the word of the Lord. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out."
Our gospel reading this morning, we turn to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. Let's listen for the word of the Lord one more time. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, don't worry, I haven't decided to dust off an Easter morning sermon, but it's real easy to drift back to our everyday lives, almost forgetting something unbelievably miraculous happened just a few weeks ago. The disciples certainly have, haven't they? Once again, we hear another post-resurrection appearance this morning that finds Jesus once again coming to the disciples behind closed doors. It's beginning to feel a bit like Groundhog's Day with the disciples, isn't it? Now, I can almost understand it for us. You see, we celebrate Easter every year, year after year, and still we wait. So it's easy to drift back occasionally to that old pre-Easter world. But what about the disciples? I mean, what's their excuse? Mary has just proclaimed, "I have seen the risen Lord." The disciples have seen the nail marks in his hands. Thomas demanded a similar appearance, and he got it. Yeah, here we are, a few weeks after Easter. The disciples are still living in that old world. They're still full of fear and uncertainty. Everything seems to be moving slowly as though nothing miraculous happened, as though the world didn't just change forever. Instead, everyone is living in that Good Friday world. Maybe not everything is the same. Maybe not everyone is the same. I mean, does anybody recognize this Peter that we hear in Acts this morning? Confident, faithful, correct in his proclamations? Think back to his time with Jesus throughout their ministry together. Peter was constantly tripping over himself. One moment, he's lacking faith. The next moment, he oversteps and totally misses the mark the other way. And then all of a sudden, wow, just listen to him preach this morning. Now, what we just missed in the book of Acts is that Peter and John were on their way to the temple when they come across a beggar who's never been able to walk in his life. Peter says to him, well, we don't have any money, but what we do have is the gospel. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the crowd suddenly sees this man stand and walk for the very first time in his life. And of course, everyone wants to give credit to Peter and John. They've just seen them reach out and help this man stand. The problem is, of course, that the crowd completely misunderstands what's happening. Sure, the crowd is astonished, wondering, how on earth can this man be walking? They're stunned. They're genuinely stunned, and they quickly surround Peter and John and this beggar. See, they don't yet realize that they've just experienced God working in the world. Because being astonished is great, but it isn't enough. And that's what the crowd doesn't understand, at least not until Peter begins preaching. Being astonished at the movement of God in the world and within our lives, that's a natural reaction. But the key is what we do next. Do we go about our daily lives thinking, well, that was crazy, and at the same time change nothing? How often do we allow Jesus' moments to truly transform us, to cause us to change our ways, to change our lives forever? How often do we find ourselves like those first apostles, finally fully transformed forever? Now, just like the crowd surrounding Peter and John and the beggar, the disciples are truly astonished at what they've been hearing. But they don't open their hearts and minds to the transformation that is possible. Not yet, they can't. That's why we keep finding them each week after Easter behind those locked doors. Without allowing God to transform their lives one more time, the disciples are stuck in that old Good Friday world. That world where death is the final nail. The world where the dead don't rise. The world where they don't change, not really. The world where only ghosts visit them in death. So when the risen Lord suddenly appears before them, offering peace once more, Luke tells us the disciples thought he was a ghost. They were terrified. Now, that's a perfectly reasonable response if it was a ghost, isn't it? The reaction from the disciples also shows us a fear of the early church. The early church was afraid that the people wouldn't understand that this resurrection was a bodily resurrection, not just a spiritual one, not just ghosts. This Jesus is no ghost. Christ was truly, entirely raised from the dead. And so Jesus makes this unbelievably obvious when he asks for some food and eats the broiled fish. The early church wanted everyone to learn from these early disciples, thinking that they were only seeing a ghost, a shadow of what once was but could never be again. The disciples are clearly living in that old world. They need a reminder that the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And so Jesus comes to them, offering them that reminder that he's risen, that death is no more. And he has two other reasons for making this particular post-resurrection appearance. You see, the disciples are about to become the apostles. But before they can, Jesus must prepare them. Jesus must share with them one final lesson. Think back to his ministry. Throughout his time walking the land with the disciples, Jesus was showing them what was possible, everything that was possible, if they had complete faith in God. With faith, the demons that haunted the world would be no more. The illness of sin would not survive his wondrous grace. That he was truly the Son of God, fully human and fully divine. The disciples see what could be possible. They watched Jesus being a living example of how to live their own lives in love every day. And that final commandment, think back to Maundy Thursday, that final commandment Jesus gives them to humble themselves to others and to love one another as Jesus has always loved them. And now, as the risen Christ, Jesus opens their minds to the Scriptures. He tells them that the Scriptures are the living Word. They're the living Word, not some words in an old book from the past. Everything that he said would happen has now happened through his crucifixion and his resurrection. Jesus explains everything to them one final time. And then he commissions them. He sends them out into the world to share that gospel message, the good news that something new has happened in Christ, that the world has been transformed through the love of God we find in Jesus. Salvation is found through him. Finally, these disciples, these apostles, are ready. They can now forget those old ghosts and live into their new lives, this new resurrection world, their Easter reality. What about us? Are we really ready to live into an Easter world? Or will we continue to see Easter as simply the first Sunday after the first full moon on or after the spring equinox? Do we see it as a day for baskets and egg hunts? A day on a calendar that lasts 24 hours, then goes away for a year? Or do we see Easter as the first day of an entirely new world? Now, for those of you who choose the second category, I have a question. What are you doing here? Right? Go and preach. Live that commissioning. Bear witness in the world to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Share with everyone what your faith has done for you. Why are you here? But now that you are, wait 30 minutes, fair enough, and then go into the world and do just that. Because you see, the church should never be our destination. Christ never meant for us to end in church. Instead, this is our beginning point. Oh, it's vital to be in church, of course it is, but because it is our jumping off point for the rest of our lives of faith. How can we love one another if we only come to church and then go back to seeing those old ghosts? If our focus each week is just slogging it day by day just to get here on Sunday, well, then we're lost in that old world. The world that would say Jesus appearing is nothing more than a ghost story. Now, let's be honest. That world might feel safer sometimes. That world where nothing radical happens. That world can feel more comfortable. Sure, we may not like what we see day to day, but at least we know what to expect with that world. The world Christ offers is wholly unpredictable. If Christ can tell us that death is no more, then what is left impossible? But if we have the confidence to proclaim that he is risen indeed. Just imagine what else is possible. Now remember, the good news is not something we have to imagine. Look at Peter and John in our story from Acts. Once Jesus opens their minds to understanding this living word, look at what they do. Now, at first, it's easy to focus on them healing the beggar, allowing him to walk for the first time in his life. That is astonishing. Don't get me wrong. But that's only the start of the story. Without then hearing the word proclaimed, well, we, like the crowd, risk slipping back into that ghost world. If we don't take the time after witnessing something miraculous in our world, it will become but a blip on our radar. I mean, how often has something happened in our lives that made us instantly say, well, we're going to change from this day on? When does that change last? A couple days, maybe a few weeks? Right? Because being astonished is great. But without repenting from the old world, that we're left looking for ghosts, always turning back to how things were, instead of living into this new Easter world and imagining what could be. See, the truth is, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we gather here, we are proclaiming Christ crucified and Christ risen. Every Sunday is an Easter celebration. Every Sunday is a chance to shake us out of our stupor and to go into the world proclaiming the risen Lord. Peter took that chance to preach repentance to a crowd that didn't understand what they were witnessing. And look at where we are today. All of it began when Jesus opened the scriptures to a new world and his followers refused to stay hidden any longer. Friends, each week in Easter, we're asking ourselves, what do we do now? Now, today we learn from the disciples in Luke, from the apostles in Acts, that we come to church on Sunday to witness the miraculous resurrection of our Lord. And then we go out into the world bearing witness to the same resurrection to everyone we meet. We witness to the resurrection through loving others, both one another in our congregation, as well as everyone else we meet. I mean, we've seen how quickly our world turns from one astounding event to the next with barely any recognition. We've seen how quickly the rest of the world looks for ghosts of what once was. But not us. Not anymore. Forget those ghosts of what was and instead live into the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the light from now until forevermore. Amen.